Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash and Potsy. We just saw Justin Fields do something pretty remarkable with his arm, kind of. We'll get into all that and the latest from the Bears' victory against the Titans in the preseason opener coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, the Bears were going to play Justin Fields 7 to 10 snaps today. They played him 7, and he put up 14 points. He did it with his arm, kind of. I think that's about as impressive of an opener as we could have hoped for.
Yeah, Pat, usually you're complaining that's when your starting quarterback only plays 7 snaps, but maybe I've been conditioned by previous years, but it seemed like, hey, that was enough. Obviously, they got to show more. He's got to throw the ball downfield. They got to, work an offense, a larger volume of offense. But yeah, that was for openers. That was for the Bears for openers. That was, dare I say, impressive.
Here's what Justin Fields did on the third play of the game. Threw a screen pass left to DJ Moore, who caught the ball, got a nice block from Darnell Mooney, and then from Braxton Jones, sprinted up the sideline for a touchdown. 62 yards. I believe that would have been the 6th best game by a Bears wide receiver last season, just if he would have been done right there. 4 plays into the Bears' second drive. It's 3rd and 8. Luke Getsy calls a little screen left to Khalil Herbert. There are 2 blitzing linebackers. Herbert kind of sells that he's pass blocking, slips out. Justin Fields is athletic enough to slide out, dump it off. There may have been an offensive lineman too far downfield, maybe. But there was no flag. Herbert took it up the sideline, wasn't touched until about the 7, and then he muscled his way in for a, 56-yard touchdown. Justin Fields threw the ball between the 2 plays, I think, 5 yards shy of the line of scrimmage. 4 yards shy once and 1 yard shy on the next one. But boy, in the box score, they go down. It's about 118 yards of passing and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things you could say about that would kind of take away from the impact. I mean, it was against a second-team defense.
Yep.
So there's that. And yeah, they weren't big downfield plays, but and we're kind of conditioned, or I'm kind of conditioned, just always look for any morsel of hope with the Bears offense. And those weren't just, I always say, when you throw the ball short, when Aaron Rodgers throws, dumps one off, and Aaron Jones or somebody goes at 70 yards, he gets all the credit for that. And rightfully so. There's an art to, as we know, anyone who's watched Bear quarterbacks with screenplays, there's an art to doing it. There's timing on the part of the quarterback. There's timing on the part of the blocking and everything. That's a good play relative to whatever they, kind of defense was they were presented with. So to me, those count. I think those are good. So I think you made the point earlier that that's still good design. That's still good execution. The bar is low for any Bears offense. Any little thing they show, like execution and design, is good. And so I take that as a positive with a lot more to prove.
I think that is better news for the Bears offense than it was for Justin Fields. But I think that's okay, because I think that giving the ball to a playmaker like DJ Moore and watching him do that the first time he touches the ball in your uniform is a good thing. I think when you saw Cody Whitehair leading the charge down the sideline with Khalil Herbert behind him, this is a guy moved to a new position who very easily could have been cut this offseason, but the Bears wanted to try him at center. The Bears decided to try and surround Justin Fields with some real help this year. And the fact that real help made his life easier today is just so different from last year, where, number one, every pass was hard all the time. And number two, he was the one who had to put everybody on his back. It's kind of nice to see the inverse this time.
Right, and that's, for now, that's kind of how it has to be, but that's the way it's supposed to play out. Yeah, like you said, that was the big issue. Not enough help for Justin Fields. Now they do. And we saw a little bit of it. Hey, we've seen Bear quarterbacks hand off 3 times and take the rest of the day off. And that's been kind of depressing. I thought relative to that kind of thing, this was actually, I don't know about exciting, but certainly encouraging. I think it's a good, let's put it this way, a good first step, isn't it?
Yeah. I use the word proof of concept, or the phrase proof of concept in my story, that it may not mean much, but at least the idea of surrounding him with better players seems to pay off. I want to read you a quote from Matt Eberflus, if I may. I will not do an Eberflus impression. When you increase your skill on your football team, the catch and runs get larger and the stat lines look better. Freaking imagine that, Potsy. This is a team that spent $90 million in dead cap space last year. They paid more money than any other team in football on for players who weren't on their roster. You know, Justin Fields is throwing to N'Keal Harry and Byron Pringle and is getting sacked at a higher rate than any than all but one person in the history of football who throws 300 passes in a season. I'm not saying this team is a Super Bowl contender. I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but they seem to be an upgrade from what we were dealing with last year.
Yeah, like I said, they're making progress. This is a step forward. It makes next week even more interesting, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great – I we're just – for some reason, I just like the idea of the crossover practices, you know, heading into the game. I just feel like this team right now really needs it and can benefit from it. And I think a game like this is a good kind of jumping off point to get to that next step. So I think, like I said, all in all, relative to the fact that this is a preseason opener, you know, for the Chicago Bears, pretty encouraging.
23-17, by the way, your final score. The Bears win. They get a stop in the end zone with about a minute and a half left, and then punt and get a pick at the end of the game. They had 8 sacks. They had, what, 4 takeaways? 5 takeaways? Defense played pretty good. To me, there were 2 guys, and you wrote about both of them, Potsy, who stood out on defense. Guys who, you know, are really going to actually be on the field in week one. And that was Kyler Gordon, the slot cornerback, and Tyreek Stevenson, the rookie outside corner. Let's start with Gordon. What was so impressive about him to you?
Well, it was interesting the way that it kind of ensued. He had 2 huge hits and really showed the physicality that he really wants to show, you know, where you can kind of be like a safety and a cornerback in that slot corner position. You know, you can kind of, you know, do both, and it allows him to be more physical. And sure enough, he was. And he made 2 big hits on Chris Moore?
Yep.
Yeah. Both jarred the ball loose, but he didn't even get credit for a fumble. I think the first one, the whistle was blown. The play was blown dead before the fumble. And on the other one, it was that reviewed?
Yeah.
And he didn't have possession. It was an incompletion.
Right.
So neither of them stopped the Bears from the Titans from having a 12-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. That's the bad news. But the good news is that he displayed a kind of physicality that is more in line with what we expected from a defense that is guided by the hits principle. So I thought that was pretty good. And just talking to Kyler Gordon afterwards, I think he's just the epitome of what this defense is. A guy who had kind of a talented guy, a second-round draft pick, who had an up-and-down rookie year, but was the arrow was pointing up at the end. He showed that he had kind of learned well, and this year, you know, he's taking the next step. It was just interesting to hear him describe it as, like, I think he referred like kind of a zen type of inner peace, inner calmness, that where nothing bothers him, nothing's hectic. He's got to kind of find a comfort zone, and that's allowing him to play the way he does. It was a really interesting way to explain it, and it just really tells you where he is and where this defense is. Now, can he carry that on against, you know, better competition? Well, we'll see. But I think he's on his way. Let's put it that way.
Worth pointing out, the Titans rotated Malik Willis the Kentucky quarterback Will Levis today. They kind of played intermittently, so each of them, you know, got to play with the good teammates and the bad teammates and all of that. Kyler Gordon had talked to us before, Potsy, about just kind of thinking too much last year. He said he'd be at the line of scrimmage, and rather than thinking about how am I going to stop my guy, he'd be, you know, watch the motion go and then sit and try and convince himself something was going to happen or something was not going to happen. Is this just a rookie calming down? Is this a good example of the Bears coaching them up the right way? Is there a way to parse the difference?
I think it's all of it. I think it's a talented guy. Very often, the Bears will have some overachieving, undrafted guy who goes through those same things and just doesn't have the talent to take the next step, to learn from it, to get better. They're dealing with second-round guys like Brisker and Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson. These are really talented 4- and 5-star guys who have the talent to use what they've learned and actually be good. So I think it's all of what you said. I think the game is slowing down. He's learning, but most of all, as Eberflus referred to, he's got talent, and we're seeing the difference already.
I think Tyreek Stevenson in my mind, probably had the best game of any defensive player the Bears had. He led them in tackles with seven. Of course, that's not always a good sign when you're a corner. But I thought he played, I thought he just kind of had his nose in everything. And he didn't seem overwhelmed. He didn't seem overmatched. And, you know, okay, it's the Titans. Their wide receiver core is not particularly interesting to begin with. But I think that's what you want for a rookie is he looked at home. And do you know who looked at home last year? Jaquan Brisker in the preseason. Jalen Johnson, we've seen him not be cowed a couple years ago when he was a rookie. I think it was a really good first step for Stevenson. And Matt Eberflus acknowledged as much after the game as well.
Yeah, I like Stevenson. I just like everything about him, the way he is, kind of the confidence he has, and just his general approach. We talked to him after the game. He sounded more like he had a bad game. Like I said, you know, what do you take from this? He says, well, I can learn a lot from this. And because he made the misplay on the very first play that allowed Gordon to make that big hit and more when it was a 30-yard gain because he just was so, he said it was jitters or whatever. He was just so amped up by the moment that he lost his, all the things they talk about, their technique and their keys and all the discipline things. So he rued that, and then on the pass breakup he had, that could have been an interception. He thought that should have been an interception, and so to him, he's just got a lot of work to do. He didn't really emphasize, I guess, the tackle for loss, which is a really nice play, kind of smoking out a wide receiver screen.
Yeah,
it's pretty adept. That, and I think he had another couple plays. I can't remember that. Were just good open field tackle type things. And anytime you get a cornerback who can tackle, that's really good. So overall, he was, I thought overall a good starting point for him as well. And we'll see where he takes it from here.
I want to give a quick acknowledgement. Travis Gibson had himself three quarterback hits and a sack. This is a guy who was a third stringer in their original depth chart, which is pretty a pretty significant fall from 2 years ago when he had seven sacks. The Bears had eight sacks today, and a couple came from defensive linemen, and that's something we haven't been able to say in a long time.
Yeah, and Travis Gibson, you know, good for him. Was I'll be honest, I'm not sure exactly how real that was. How much he'll be able to sustain that when the competition level ramps up, because we just haven't seen it from him since last year, anyway. But he was consistently. I mean, he had three quarterback hits, but even more than that, even when he didn't get credit for that. You still noticed him, like the really great players. You know, you notice him on every play, the great pass rushers, and he was that. So that's hope too, and maybe that's a guy who's been spurred by the fact that the Bears have added depth or quality to their defensive end rotation.
One of the things he told me about earlier in camp was that his change of direction really needed fixing this offseason. Was that, you know, even if he got in against the quarterback, the minute the quarterback either rolled out or pirouetted or whatever, he was dead. And so chasing, especially Malik Willis, who was one of the more athletic quarterbacks in the league, I thought that was good practice for him.
One more thing, if I could add.
Please.
Just as far as the theme, I think, of what I was writing was just, you know, what we saw, what did we see out here have the best chance of being real, at least on the defensive side? You know, to me, it was definitely Gordon with just thumping people, and Stevenson, but also Zach Pickens, the rookie defensive tackle. He had a sack, and just in general, was just played really well, and you noticed him as well. I think he had a fumble recovery too. But again, for playing, you know, he's playing the second team with the second team, but that's a second team guy who figures into the first team kind of rotation.
Sure.
So that's not a backup who's going to be on the sideline all year. He'll be in that rotation. And I thought his performance today boded well for not himself and for this defense as a guy who has a lot to learn, but also, again, another five-star guy who really has a ton of talent.
Let's talk about somebody whose performance did not bode well, and that is Velus Jones. Bears punt returner today was not their kickoff returner, but he was their punt returner. The first punt of the game was left short. He charged it, let it bounce, and then kind of caught it without issue. The second one, he let it bounce 2 yards in front of him, had to backpedal to catch it. As he caught it, got popped, muffed the fumble, and the ball was recovered by the Titans. This guy, he had five punt returns last year. Two of them he fumbled, both of them in the fourth quarter of games that the Bears lost by one score. They have talked all last year and all this offseason and all this training camp about ball security and how important it was for him. And he does this. Matt Eberflus said afterwards, hey, we got to work on fundamentals. We got to, you know, plant ourselves under the ball. We got to get to the spot. We got to catch it. All that sort of stuff. That's all well and good, Potsy. But, boy, he needed to not have a game like this.
Yeah, it's really – it's disappointing. I feel bad for Bayless. He's a nice kid, and he's got a lot of talent, a lot of speed and stuff.
He's really fast.
Yeah. But, you know, he's also got a little bit smaller window, a little smaller margin for error this year than last year, and so that's not a good mistake. That's a badly timed mistake for him. So, but again, it's one play, it's early. I think they'll give him a chance, but boy, they have options at that receiver and at returner more than they did last year, and that really puts the pressure on him more than ever to really put this behind him and get back on the horse.
The guy who returned kicks for them today, Tyler Scott, is a rookie wide receiver. He plays Velas's position and could take his job, Posse. And I wrote this in the paper. Velas, if he's going to make the team, it's got to be because he's good on special teams. It has to be. That's if you're going to keep him, and if he's not going to return kicks and punts, you might as well keep somebody else. And I think the Bears would like to have his speed available on offense. I think they'd love to run a fly sweep twice a game with him. And I think there's reason to think he'd be pretty good at that. But, man, if he can't return kicks and punts, you got trouble. He was pretty good at kicks last year.
Yeah.
But the fact that they didn't want to see him do that today, that's not good either.
Yeah, I feel bad for Velas because he's one of those guys. It's almost like, I hate to say not his fault, but it's almost like not his fault. It's like the harder he tries, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants it so badly sometimes. Sometimes you want it so badly that you just cause yourself even more problems. And I don't know if he's quite like that, but it sure seems like that when these things keep popping up. When he absolutely – and the last thing he needed was for that to happen. And he almost made it happen by – it's not like he – it was the catch. It was the bounce and then trying to – it's like he's trying too hard. He's trying to make a play when he shouldn't, and it cost him. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
but like I said, he's got a very much smaller margin for error.
Yeah, he almost made three mistakes on that play, which was he let a ball bounce 2 yards in front of him that he probably could have caught. Then he decided, rather than let it roll, to try and field it. And then once he fielded it, he dropped it. And I think what you're getting at is that he's aware that it's something he needs to work on.
Right.
And it's important to him.
Yeah.
I think we all can sense that for sure.
Yeah.
And when mistakes keep happening to players like that, that's a bummer.
There are guys like him who spend 10 years in the NFL, and there are guys like him who spend no years in the NFL.
Right.
As talented as, you know, they've got everything, but there's just always something in the way. And so, you know, that's on the Bears. It's on Velas, but it's also on the coaching staff to try and find a niche for him and to coach him up and because he's got a ton of talent. And, you know, he can be good, but I don't think they have time to wait until they're like the Patriots or the Chiefs or the Packers, where anybody you throw in there, all of a sudden, you know, Robert Tonyan scores 10 touchdowns or whatever, where anybody you throw in there becomes good. I don't think the Bears have that kind of time.
I also think he has enough of a draft pedigree that I think if they cut him, I think somebody would pick him up. So
Yeah,
somebody would try to fix
him.
And so this isn't one of those, we'll just get him through the practice squad and he can work on it for the next three months.
Yeah.
This is something they got to figure out here in the next month or so before cut day. Potsy, anything else grab you before we go? I was going to suggest game balls, but we just kind of went offense, defense, and special teams. And plus, I guess game balls is more of a regular season
affair. Yeah, I agree with that, if it's that even. It's a preseason game. I know we want content, obviously, but you know, I don't want to make too much of it and try and keep everything in perspective. What I would say is it's just really going to be interesting to see, looking back on this, what is real and what is not. Like I wrote in my story today, it could turn out that 12-play, 75-yard drive on the opening possession for a defense that was missing four starters, that could be the indicator. Who knows?
Malik Willis.
Happened before.
Malik Willis's passer rating last year was in the 40s.
Yeah.
He's not a good quarterback.
But I choose to think that Kyler Gordon's thumping will, in my heart of hearts, I really believe that that will end up being more of a harbinger. Or a tone-setting thing. This is because that's just the way this defense wants to play. Now it's a matter of just going out and doing it.
And we'll be able to see what happens here in the next week. As you and I talked about, I think what happens in Indianapolis is going to be really, really important to kind of the arc of this preseason and them figuring out exactly what they've got at a lot of spots. Potsy, the good news is we will be there to see it with our own two eyes, and we will bring the podcast microphone with us. Until then, you can follow Mark and myself and Jason Leisure on social media. You can check us out at the Sun-Times website. Go ahead and download the app on your phone. I really do like that as a way to read the paper.
I love that app.
Yeah, the app or the e. You can read the e-edition. And remember, signing up is free, so it costs you nothing, and you get some really, really good Bears coverage. And if you live in town, as always, Potsy, go pick up a paper.
Yes? Yeah, from your mouth.
From my mouth to God's, yeah. God's ears?
Yeah. To our readers' ears.
Yeah, because this is a an audio medium, you can't tell. Well, Potsy's been nodding for 10 seconds as though you can see that at home. Anyway, follow us along as we march on through the preseason. For Mark Potash, I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.